Greetings and welcome to the Joy of Discovery radio program, brought to you by the family of the Claysburg Bible Church. I'm Pastor Keith Showalter, and it's great to be with you today on the Joy of Discovery. As I do every week, I will remind you again that if you ever desire a copy of any of our CDs, they are absolutely free. All you need to do is write to us. Whenever you write to us, make sure you include the date of the program that you desire. Write to Claysburg Bible Church, 11751 William Penn Road, Imler, Pennsylvania, 16655. And I'll get you that address again at the end of the program. Before we get to our Bible study today, let us look to the Lord in prayer. Father, today we come to a portion of Scripture, Lord, that is so prevalent for our day and age, especially with everything that we see going on. And so I pray that as we get into this portion of Scripture out of Revelation, Lord, that you would challenge our thinking. Maybe there would be somebody listening today that doesn't know Christ as Savior, and if that be the case, my prayer would be that today would be the day of salvation for them. So, Lord, take this and use it today, we pray. Might you be honored and glorified in all that's said and done. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Good to be with you today on the Joy of Discovery radio program, and I trust that you have a Bible with you. And if you do, and if you're not driving down the road, then I'm going to ask you to open up to Revelation chapter 13. Revelation chapter 13. This is part 8 of the significant characters of the tribulation. It's chapters 12 through 14. And so we've been looking at these significant characters that are mentioned in chapters 12 through 14. And so far, we've looked at Israel, we've looked at Satan, we've looked at Jesus Christ, and we've looked at the Antichrist, and we've looked at the earth dwellers. Today, as we get to chapter 13, verse 11, we meet another individual who is known as the false prophet. And the false prophet is going to be a very interesting individual, very frightening individual also. But he is going to stand by the side of the Antichrist, as we shall see. The first thing that we're going to notice is his character. Watch chapter 13, verse 11. Here's what it says. It says, "And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon." Now, he comes up out of the earth, and this could mean, as we talked about before, it could mean that he's a Jew, because a lot of times the land is referring to Jewish, but we can't be dogmatic about that. We can't be for sure about that. So we will let that go, and we will not spend very much time on that. There are, however, several things in the verse that we can know for sure. First of all, he has two horns like a lamb, and he speaks as a dragon or a serpent. Now, the horns in the Bible speak of power. And in chapter 5, when we saw Jesus in heaven, we saw that he was said to have seven horns. Revelation 5, 6 says this. It says, "And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and one of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, and they are the seven spirit, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth unto all the earth." So the number seven speaks of perfection or completion. So the power of Christ is perfect and it's complete. That's the idea there. The second beast of Revelation 13 has, with the false prophet, has only two horns. And the number two speaks of witness in the Bible. This is interesting. The idea here is that he will be a witness that will testify of the first beast, who is the Antichrist of Revelation 13. And he will be a powerful witness. And this we shall see as we move on through this chapter. The fact that he will speak as a dragon, which means a serpent, points to the deception of his words. He will be a very deceitful individual. And this is a connection between the character of the false prophet and the serpent in Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. Listen to this. In chapter 3 of Genesis, verse 1, we read, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of the tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Now listen, Satan caused Eve to question the word of God. He lied and he convinced her that God was keeping something from her by not allowing her to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. The false prophet, back to Revelation 13:11, the false prophet will also be very deceptive in what he says. His words will be in opposition to the word of God. What you got to understand is that in the tribulation period, it will be a time of great deception. Great deception. Matthew 24:11-12. Listen to the verses. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. So the tribulation period will be a time when deception will run rampant. And I'll say this, I'll even go so far as to say this, that we will see, or the world will see, before the tribulation comes, I think that there will be an uptick in the deception that goes on in our world today. And I would like to also submit to you that we see that taking place in our world today, without a doubt, that there is deception in the world, that there is deceit, that there are lies all the time being told. And I'm not talking just about God's word. I'm not talking only about that, but I'm talking about from our government and everything. There was all kinds of deception. We've been lied to time after time after time. This is all part of what is to come in the tribulation period. Listen to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 3 through 7. It says, Paul says, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day, that would be the tribulation, the day of the Lord, that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and a man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. The word let there in verse 7 could also be translated hinder. So it could read like this. Only he who now hinders will hinder until he be taken out of the way. And the he there would be the Antichrist. He's the restrainer. He's the one today that is keeping the Antichrist from coming on the scene. The restrainer is the Holy Spirit, by the way, not the Antichrist, but the restrainer is the Holy Spirit, and he lives within each and every one of us. That's why one of the reasons why we are hated by Satan, because Satan despises us for the fact that the Spirit of God that lives within us keeps him, Satan, from revealing the Antichrist and bringing him on the scene. And he also keeps the restraints upon the demonic world. But once the church is raptured away, then the Holy Spirit, being the restraints being lifted, then there will be all kinds of lawlessness and deception that'll take place upon the earth. Lawlessness beyond anything that you and I can ever begin to imagine, because of everything that is going to be set free from the demonic world. Deception beyond anything that we can imagine, because of the fact that the restraints will be lifted off of the demonic world. That time, that tribulation period, will be far different than anything that the world has ever seen before. Jesus said there's never been a time like it, and there will never be another time like it. It is going to be devastating to the people that are alive during that time. And one of the things that is going to take place is deception, and that brings us back to this false prophet. He is going to be a witness. That's what the two horns speak of, the two being a number of witness, that he is going to be a powerful witness for the Antichrist that is going to stand by his side and testify of who this individual claims to be. Watch verse 12. It says, and he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. This man will exercise all the power which the Antichrist exercises, and with his power he will cause the earth dwellers to worship the Antichrist, whose deadly wound was healed. And there are several points I want to point out to you here. Number one is this: Satan is a counterfeiter, and the false prophet will complete the satanic trinity. The Holy Trinity consists of God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. The satanic trinity will consist of Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet. This is a satanic trinity. He's a counterfeiter. And so he is gonna counterfeit that which God has already established. The false prophet will play the part of the Holy Spirit in the satanic trinity. Let me remind you of what Jesus said concerning the Holy Spirit in John 16:13-14. He says this in verse 13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Listen to this verse. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. So the Holy Spirit's ministry is to glorify Jesus Christ in all that he does. And in the same way, the false prophet will glorify, will testify of the Antichrist and all that he says and all that he does. So this individual will make up the third person of that satanic trinity. But there's something else here that I want you to notice. The second thing, the false prophet will not accept worship for himself. This is kind of different, and I want you to listen to what I'm going to say. This is so unlike evil, and this man will be, let me tell you, he will be evil. The sin nature in every man has a desire to gain applause and attention, but this man will use his power and his words to point people to the Antichrist. He will point them to the Antichrist. Let me show you why he does this. Revelation 13, watch verse 12 again. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast, okay, now watch him, before him, and causeth the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should imagine, or that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. Okay, so I emphasize the words in verse 12, before him, and the words in verse 14, in the sight of the beast, because what that tells us is that the Antichrist will keep the false prophet under close watch. Evil cannot be trusted, and so he will stay right by the side of the Antichrist, and he will make sure that he takes none of the worship of the Antichrist. The Antichrist is going to be indwelt by Satan, so to worship the Antichrist is to worship Satan. Watch verse Revelation chapter 13, verse 4. Watch this. And they worship the dragon, that's Satan, which gave power unto the beast, and they worship the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast, and who is able to make war with him? So to worship the Antichrist is really satanic worship, and so the earth dwellers are going to worship Satan because they will worship the Antichrist, and Satan is in no way going to allow this false prophet to take any kind of the glory. He wants it all for him, for himself. He wants it all for himself. Now, let me go in a different direction, if I could, with this. Why will people accept this false prophet? Why would they accept him? And I think one of the reasons is because of what's said in the Old Testament. Not only the deception, okay, but listen to Deuteronomy 18:15-18. Okay, now listen to this. And it's referring to Christ, but just stay with me for a second. Verse 15, the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me. Unto him ye shall hearken, according to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, Let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. And the Lord said unto me, they have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren like unto thee, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. Okay, now that no doubt refers to Jesus Christ, but I'm going to submit to you that in the tribulation period, Satan will take that and he will twist the scriptures and use those verses to point to the Antichrist. And the Satan will work through the false prophet who's going to point to the Antichrist, and the false prophet will proclaim to the Jews that I believe that the Antichrist is the Messiah, which God has promised, and because they did not believe Jesus was the Messiah, they will be quick to bow to Satan's masterpiece. So back to this guy again, this false prophet. He will be extremely deceptive. He will be extremely powerful. Extremely powerful. Verse 12, he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him. Watch the influence, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast. So you see the influence of this individual. It is a global influence. Very important to understand. He will have a global influence. By the way, this man could be alive today. We don't know that. We have no idea as to whether he is or not. He could very easily be alive today in the world, or he may not be, but it with the way our world's going, it would not surprise me if he is alive today. Let me bring you to point number two about this guy. That was his character, and I want you to see his power. Watch 13:3, and he doeth great wonders. So that he maketh, watch this, maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. This false prophet is going to do great wonders, and he will even cause fire to fall from heaven in the sight of men. That's another reason why people are going to believe his testimony. Now, you just hold on to that thought for a little bit, and I'll get back to that. But I want to read for you what Paul wrote concerning the Antichrist in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 9 and 10. It says, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness, and them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. Okay, so the Antichrist in here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 9, it says that his coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. With all power and signs. Okay, then if you go back to verse 12 of Revelation 13, dealing with the false prophet, it says, and he exercises all the power of the first beast. So they have the same power. They have the same amount of power. So this guy, he's going to do great wonders and so that he make a fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. Tremendous power by this guy that God is going to allow this individual to exercise and bring the deception, because that's part of the judgment. Watch verse 14, the first part of it. And deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast. So you don't get very far away from the Antichrist, because the Antichrist will not want this guy to take any of the credit. He will not want him to take any of the glory. He will make sure that it all goes to the Antichrist. But it's going to be through these miracles which the false prophet performs that he will deceive the earth dwellers. The people who are deceived will accept, now listen to this, signs as proof of truth. That's so important to catch. Let me read verse 14 again. And deceiveth them that dwelleth on the earth by means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast. The people are going to be deceived because they are going to accept signs as proof of the truth. I'm reminded of what Matthew recorded about the Jews of Jesus' day. He said this in Matthew 16:1, the Pharisees also with the Sadducees came tempting desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. The Jews were looking for signs, and it will be no different in the tribulation period. Many will follow the Antichrist because of the miraculous signs. They will listen to the false prophet because of the miraculous signs. But here's the sad thing. They will ignore the scriptures, and then instead of following the scriptures, they will rely upon the signs. Deuteronomy 13, 1 through 4, listen to the verses. If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet, or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God proveth you, to know whether ye love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and you shall serve him and cleave unto him. Listen, I want to remind you that signs are not reliable indicators of God's work. They're not reliable indicators. Listen to that. Let me read Deuteronomy 13, 1 through 4 again. I want you to listen to this. If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass. Okay, so listen, the guy's prediction was accurate. Wherefore he spoke of thee, saying, let us, okay, so it's he was accurate. He predicted this and it came to pass. Does that mean that he's believable? Absolutely not, because the Deuteronomy 13 verse 2 goes on to say, if he says, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, let us serve them, thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. This is a test. Basically, what God's word says, this is a test. You don't go after other gods. And I say this to you today, that signs are not reliable indicators of God at work. We don't go by signs. We go by the scriptures. That's the final authority, not the signs. I don't care what somebody says they've done or what somebody says that they've heard about somebody else doing. That, listen, it's the word of God that is the final authority. Okay, listen to Matthew 7. Matthew 7, 21 through 23. Jesus said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? See what they do? They said, we prophesied in your name, we've cast out devils, and in your name we've done many wonderful works. Jesus said, I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Okay, now listen. There are people that Satan uses, and you got to understand that he is a counterfeiter. He uses them to confuse other people, to cause confusion. And that's why it's so important that we learn to rest on the foundation of God's word and not on the foundation of experience. We cannot do it. If you make experience the foundation, then you're going to be deceived. But if scripture is the foundation, then you will be steadfast. That's the bottom line. Satan's a counterfeiter. And he will cause people to have certain experiences and to lead them into deception. Therefore, it is vitally important that we hold tightly to the scriptures, no matter what the experience is, and no matter who claims to have the experience. If it's contrary to the word of God, then I'm going to tell you something. It's not of God. I don't care how good the experience is. I don't care what took place. If it is contrary to the word of God, then God's not in it. It's satanic. It is a deception. And so the scriptures become the foundation. They have to be our foundation. Listen to 1 John 4, 1 through 3. John warned. He said, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are going out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come into flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come into flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. It's already in the world. Listen to Paul's warning to the church at Corinth, 2 Corinthians 11, 13 through 15. He says, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it's no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Let me just say something to you. The Word of God's got to be the foundation. Experience cannot be the foundation. Because if you are trusting in experiences, whether they be experiences that you have or experiences that somebody else claims to have had, listen, let me just tell you something. You're setting yourself up to be deceived. Straight up, you're setting yourself up to be deceived. We don't rest in experience. I don't care how good it is. I don't care how it makes you feel. We don't rest in that. We do not do it. Let me get you down to a conclusion. This is why it's so important to learn the Word of God. Without the foundation of the Word of God, you're susceptible to the lies of Satan. Ephesians 4, when Paul gives the blueprint for the church, 11 through 14, he says this, and he gave some churches, listen, apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. What for? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. That's through the teaching of the word, by the way. He goes on, verse 13, how long do we sit under these guys till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Verse 14, here's the reason, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Listen, you need that solid biblical foundation. That's what you need. And that's what our feet rest on. That's what we are planted on. Otherwise, you're going to be blown about with every wind of doctrine that comes through, and you're going to be deceived into following after experiences instead of keeping your faith in the foundation of God's Word. I'm out of time. I want to thank you for joining us today on the Joy of Discovery radio program. And again, I'll remind you, if you would like to hear this message or any other message, our CDs are absolutely free. All you need to do is write to us. Whenever you write, be sure and include the date of the program that you desire and write to Claysburg Bible Church, 11751 William Penn Road, Imler, Pennsylvania, 16655. That's Claysburg Bible Church, 11751 William Penn Road, Imler, Pennsylvania, 16655. Until we meet around the radio or we see you in church, might you have a blessed week.